Tuesday, July 22nd. Commemoration of St. Mary Magdalene. The lesson from Song of Songs, chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, and chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. I will rise and will go about the city. In the streets and the broadways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, and I found him not. The watchmen who keep the city found me. Have you seen him whom my soul loveth? When I had a little passed by them, I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, and I will not let him go, till I bring him into my mother's house, and into the chamber of her that bore me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and hearts of the fields, that you stir not up, nor wake my beloved till she please. Put me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thy arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy is hard as hell. The lamps thereof are lamps of fire and flames. Many waters cannot quench charity, neither can the floods drown it. If a man shall give all the substance of his house for love, he shall despise it as nothing. Haydock Commentary. At the end of the marriage feast, the bride was conducted to her husband's house. The Jews shall in the end acknowledge Christ as the church desires. Put me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thy arm. Women in the East imprint what they like most on their bosom and arms, or carry bracelets and gems on those parts with similar inscriptions. See Hosea 2:2 and Isaiah 3:20. Love is a violent passion. Christ gave his life to redeem mankind, and the martyrs have joyfully endured torments and death to evince their love. Many waters cannot quench charity, neither can the floods drown it. He who sinks under persecution has not real charity. Temptation does not weaken a person, but shows what he is. If a man shall give all the substance of his house for love, he shall despise it as nothing. Worldlings will ridicule his parting with temporal delights for those which do not appear, but the true lover will make no account of the former. The Gospel from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. At that time one of the Pharisees desired Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the house of the Pharisee and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman that was in the city, a sinner, when she knew that he sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and standing behind at his feet, she began to wash his feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And the Pharisee who had invited him, seeing it, spoke within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would surely know who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. But he said, Master, say it. A certain creditor had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And whereas they had not wherewith to pay, he forgave them both. Which therefore of the two loveth him most? Simon answering said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said to him, Thou hast judged rightly. And turning to the woman, he said unto Simon, Dost thou see this woman? I entered into thy house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she with tears hath washed my feet, and with her hairs hath wiped them. Thou gavest me no kiss, but she, since she came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she with ointment hath anointed my feet. Wherefore I say to thee, many sins are forgiven her, because she hath loved much. But to whom less is forgiven, he loveth less. And he said to her, Thy sins are forgiven thee. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has made thee safe. Go in peace. Haydock Commentary. Some say that the sinful woman had only been of a vain, airy carriage, one that loved to be admired for her beauty and wit. But the common exposition, and more conformable to the text, is that she had been of a lewd, debauched life and conversation. Tradition holds this to be Mary Magdalene. Jesus Christ was then at table after the manner of the Orientals, reclined at length on a couch, a little raised from the ground, having his face turned toward the table, and his feet extended. He had quitted his sandals, according to the custom of the country, before he had laid himself on the couch. The Pharisee was egregiously deceived, first, in thinking that Christ was ignorant of the character of the woman, when he not only clearly saw the past bad conduct of the woman, but the present unjust thoughts of the Pharisee. Second, in his erroneous inference that Christ could not be a prophet, for all things are not necessarily revealed by God to his prophets. Third, by judging of Christ after his own and the other Pharisees' treatment of sinners, who, elated with pride and thinking themselves just, kept all public sinners at a respectful distance, whereas not those who are well, but such as are sick, need the physician. St. Cyprian says, "In proportion to our sins should be our grief." Many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much. In Scripture, an effect sometimes seems attributed to only one cause, when there are diverse other concurring dispositions. The sins of this woman in this verse are said to be forgiven because she loved much. But Christ tells her, "Thy faith hath saved thee." In a true conversion are joined faith, hope, love, sorrow, and other pious dispositions. This is one of those places upon which modern sectarians lay so much stress in order to prove that faith alone can save us. But if they will attentively consider the different parts of this history, they will easily discover the fallacy of their argument. Because before Christ spoke these words, "Thy faith hath made thee safe," he had said to Magdalene, "Many sins are forgiven her because she hath loved much." Therefore she was justified not so much through her faith as her charity. Still she had faith, or she would not have come to Jesus to be delivered from her sins. It was therefore her faith working by charity that justified her, and this is the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Nevertheless, she had not that faith which modern sectarians affirm to be necessary for their justification, namely, a belief that they are already justified and that their sins are forgiven. This faith the woman here mentioned had not before Christ spoke those words to her. For it was to obtain the remission of her sins that she performed so many offices of charity, washing his feet with her tears, etc. But it may be asked, why then does Christ attribute her salvation to her faith? The answer is easy, and has often been given, namely, that faith is the beginning of salvation. For it was her faith that brought her to Christ. For had not the woman believed in him, she never would have come to him to obtain the remission of her sins.